nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Aldous Huxley said, "The great end of life is not knowledge, but action." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who take action. Our first playmaker turned a conversation with a doctor into a business, while our next playmaker turned a vision with two other mothers into a program for adults with disabilities. With us today is a CEO who has turned travel schedule software into medical schedule optimization, while our next playmaker has developed her organization as a result of her son Kyle, one of her first hipsters. His great playmakers are Paul Wiley. Paul is CEO of Opargo, and Charmaine Solomon. Charmaine is founder and chairman of the board of My Possibilities. And we're going to begin today's show with Charmaine. Charmaine Solomon is founder and chairman of the board, as I mentioned, of My Possibilities, the first full-day, full-year continuing education program in Collin County for disabled Texans who have aged out of secondary education. Born and raised in South Africa, Charmaine has worked and studied in South Africa, England, and the United States. She's a founding member of My Possibilities and, as I mentioned, currently serves as chairman of the board. Charmaine's focus, passion, and dedication to My Possibilities is very personal to her because of her son Kyle, who's one of the first hipsters, and that's hugely important people, to attend My Possibilities when the program opened in June of 2008. Charmaine, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be here today.
Well, you're one of three mothers, I mentioned this earlier, who got together to create My Possibilities. Tell us how this program came to be.
The program really came to be because we had a need. My son was graduating from high school, and for those parents who have children with cognitive challenges, it's an annual review. It's called an ARD. We were in the last ARD meeting, and the school person said to me, "Well, this is Kyle's last year." And I was like, "Oh, well, that's great. What am I going to do with Kyle? He's graduating." So they said, "Well, I don't know." And I said, "Well," and they said to me, "So what are you going to do with Kyle?" And we had these backwards and forwards, "I don't know, I don't know," and gave me some antiquated list to go and have a look around and see what options I had. And that began the journey for what was to become My Possibilities. Was really, once I had a look around, I was like, "Oh my goodness, this is not going to work for my son." And then we called up a mom and said, "You know, what are you doing with your son?" And she said, "I don't know, what are you doing with yours?" And again, that "I don't know" began. And so we decided to meet, and I'm sure you know that the famous Starbucks napkin is one of the, that was the design. We met for coffee and sketched out a design for what was to become My Possibilities today.
So it all began with, what do we do now?
That's right.
And you found other mothers had the same situation, and you pulled this all together. Was it difficult putting the organization together from the beginning? Did you need a lot of help? Tell us how that happened.
Well, basically, we actually, as mothers, we just thought we were disconnected. And because I'm not an American and I live in Dallas or Plano, I was like, "Oh my gosh, we got Fortune 500 companies up the road. Surely there must be something." But under investigation, there really wasn't. And so that began to say, "Well, let's do a town hall meeting and, you know, invite other people, because surely there must be something that can be done." Well, Prestonwood Baptist Church allowed us to use their cafeteria area. And we had three town hall meetings, and all three meetings, over 300 people showed up. And then we realized that it was a big problem. And that really was the momentum, and other people signed up. Five key women stepped up to the plate at that first very meeting. And that was the bones of really what began My Possibilities.
300 people is a great group to start with that has some interest in that. Tell us about what you offer for adults with disabilities. Obviously, they have they can't do it through school system anymore because they've aged out, as I mentioned. But what do you provide when they become part of My Possibilities? What do they get?
Well, the first thing that we decided that we would do was open up all day for parents who are working. So we open from 8 to 6. All year round, we only close major holidays. So that was the first piece that we wanted to fix for working parents. And then the second part was that we wanted our adults to continue to learn and stretch and become all that they wanted to do. And that's what we've systematically worked on. So anything, life skills, socialization, independent living. We even do job training. We have a beautiful art, music, and drama program. It's really to find the giftedness in our people. And then once we found that giftedness, is to continue growing that person as an adult.
Well, I know that a big part of what you're always doing is fundraising.
Oh, yes.
Looking for money. Is there a cost for the adults that attend My Possibilities?
Yes, there is a fee for service, but it is we underwrite a huge percentage of that through the fundraising event. And so there is. And there are government waiver programs that we use towards the payments of the program. So it's a very flexible schedule. And then, of course, we raise a lot of money. We raised $1.2 million this year.
So if there is an adult in need of My Possibilities, can they get a scholarship or help toward those fees?
Yes, a partial scholarship.
So no one is excluded.
No.
If someone would like to become a part of it.
No.
The website is mypossibilities.org. There's a tremendous amount of information on there. But I noticed a few areas. There's MP University, Explore, Achieve, Create. And a big one is hipsters.
Correct.
I mentioned that earlier. What are hipsters?
Hugely important people. Everything that we do is for our people. And so if you come to My Possibilities and you don't if you don't see what we do for these adults to improve their lives, then we are not living up to our mission. That we employ people that are that kind of person, that are minded, mission-minded, that really want to give back to community. It's not just about salaries at My Possibilities.
We mentioned fundraising, which mm-hmm. is something you're doing. You said you raised, I think you believe, $1.2 million.
That's correct.
What about volunteers?
Oh, my gosh. We are just completely volunteer-centered. So in the program, you know, direct one-on-one at our events, we put on four major events a year, a gala, a golf tournament, the Big Santa Run, which is our big annual run every year. We had 3,000 runners this year dressed up in Santa suits.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so it's a really fun – a lot of our events are fun, but they are very volunteer-centered.
Do you have volunteers working at My Possibilities on a year-round basis?
We do. In every asset. Whatever someone wants to do, if they want to be involved in the administration side or they want one-on-one or they want to do more fundraising, we have volunteer opportunities for most people.
Well, you mentioned something about what the adults get, but how are you empowering them with being able to get out in society again? What are you doing to help them?
That's all we do. I mean, our community and our adults are one. We go out into the community comes into us. We do lots of business sort of workshop days where businesses come into us. We have transportation, and so those buses are going in and out of the program every day, interfacing in the community.
For a number of these adults, they have different types of disabilities.
Correct.
What are the major disabilities that they have that you're working with?
You know, that's one thing that I really love about My Possibilities. Everyone, the common denominality is someone has a cognitive challenge, but how they got that and what their diagnosis is irrelevant. We have everything that you can imagine under the rainbow at My Possibilities.
So you have adults that might have a different type of cognitive challenge.
Yes.
Working together.
Yes.
Now, do you have some adults that may have a difficult getting out into the mainstream that probably will just continue to stay at My Possibilities?
Yes.
So they're there on a regular basis. They're coming in all the time. And even though they're not coming out, they're continually learning.
Yes.
Do some of them become volunteers? Do some of them work with other adults?
We have a leadership program at My Possibilities. So if you're a leader, then that's exactly what you're doing. You can become a leader. You can help other people. And then, of course, at our events, we have public speaking by our adults. So they are just as ingrained in us as we invest in them and they invest in us. It's really it's fantastic to see.
Well, I've done a lot of work with organizations where when people in that organization go out to recruit or look for money, people believe it more, and that's a great way of doing it, having them involved. But let's talk about your website, because I was on there for a while, and there's a number of interesting things there. And again, it's mypossibilities.org. What would somebody find there if they want to get more information about My Possibilities?
Well, they'll find information about the programs that we offer. They'll find information about our board, about our staff members, If you look at our staff, one thing that My Possibilities invests in is our people. And so all of our educators are really educators. They know what they're doing. And so you can see their profiles. We have an exceptionally strong board, very strong business people. My Possibilities is run as a four-cause organization. So you'll see information about our board members, community events. And of course, we've received a lot of information about us. You'll see our donor days and stuff like that.
The organization is 7 years old now. Six. Is that correct? Six years old. Do the folks that work there have to have a special degree in working with adults with disabilities?
Yes.
So they've gone through school. They know what they're doing and continually working with them too.
Yes, and they understand working with the special education population.
Well, I'm a big believer in getting funding for organizations such as yours. And apparently, as you mentioned, the biggest way you get your funding is from some of the events that you
Correct.
Have. What is the next one that would be coming up where someone could get involved?
The next one is our gala. And this is a fun event because we did a gala where we put our adults in a gala and got them all their outfits donated through the Plano prom closet. Men's Warehouse gave all our men tuxedos. And then we put our donors together in one big party with the Jordan Kahn band. Oh, my gosh, we just blew the walls off. We couldn't even get people to go home that night. So April 17th is our next gala. And this year we're going to do it in a different environment, a little bit bigger, because we ran out of space last year. We couldn't get everybody to come. So that's our next one, April 17th.
So we're looking about about 2.5 months from now. So put that on your calendar for April 17th. You also mentioned three others. What are the other three that are coming out?
Golf tournament. We always do a golf tournament every year. We're going to do it at Glen Eagles this year. We do it in the summer. And then the next one is Donor Giving Day, which all the non-for-profits enter into. Last year, it was really fun. We had a hero theme, and everybody was hipster heroes and dressed up in hero costumes. And so that's in the fall. And then, of course, December is our big Santa run. We do it annually. And it's grown every year.
And they can find all these on your website, which is mypossibilities.org.
That is correct.
Well, Charmaine, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here today.
Well, Charmaine Solomon is founder and chairman of the board of My Possibilities. And again, you can get more information on My Possibilities on their website, which is mypossibilities.org. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to talk about physicians and how they can optimize their business more effectively. We have Paul Wiley. Paul Wiley is the CEO of Opargo, and he's going to be with us. Don't go away. We'll have Paul right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to speak with Paul Wiley. Paul is co-founder and CEO of Opargo, a healthcare resource optimization business that analyzes the numerous critical aspects of a patient visit to optimize physician schedules. Visits are prioritized and booked to help physicians better manage their day, properly utilize all their available resources, and improve their businesses. Patients benefit from Opargo as the appropriate provider sees them as soon as possible, and no patients are denied care no matter what type of insurance they carry. Opargo helps ensure quality care is provided to all patients while assisting physicians to better run their practices. Well, Paul, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Well, your background is with the Sabre Travel Network, and most people have heard of Sabre because they were owned by American Airlines at one time. Mm-hmm. How did a conversation with your soon-to-be partner turn into the business Opargo?
Sure. Well, it actually came from SMU. I went to grad school at SMU, and we happened to be sitting next to each other in class one day. And he went to class to basically fix his business, as he called it.
And this was a physician.
And this is a physician. Co-founder is a pain provider in Dallas. He said, I need to fix my business. I'm working more and more and making less money. So what do I do? So he goes to SMU, and clearly a smart guy. He's been through medical school, going to SMU. But we're sitting next to each other, and he talks about this issue that he has, where, again, working more, not understanding, is it a cost problem? Is it a revenue problem? And as such, we started talking about that problem. And in doing so, we found, wow, there's some real similarities between healthcare and the travel industry where I came from. We talked more and we said, hey, there's actually something here. And it just so happened that at SMU, in order to graduate through the executive MBA program, you have to start a business. That's your senior thesis, for no better terms. So in order to do so, some of us have clearly taken it a bit further than others. Our business now is here, running, functioning, which is great. But we said, hey, let's make a run at this. So we started to talk to some doctors, started to talk to others, started to build it out. Like, hey, this actually works. And here we are today with Opargo.
I think you had sent me some information that said that healthcare providers have experienced as much as a 50% drop in income in the last 5 years. So apparently there's a tremendous need for Opargo in the way you're doing it. Give us a working knowledge of Opargo. I know it can get a little detailed with optimization and everything, but basically what is Opargo and what does it do? Sure. What's the benefit for the physician?
Yeah, for the physician, what we do is we say, what's important to you? What's most important? Do you want to take care of referral sources? Do you want to take care of certain types of patients, see certain type of procedures? We take all of those into account and we say, what are the right patients that you should see at the right time to run your practice more effectively? We ensure that there are no open slots in the middle of the day. We make sure that patients don't leave, they don't walk away. But we also ensure that no patients are denied care at all. And that's a key part for us. We want to ensure that everyone gets care. But again, you have to manage it in the right way and optimize schedules at a hospital or at a physician's office in order to make that happen.
You're talking about, we were talking about inventory prior to the show starting. So for all intents and purposes, the inventory of a physician is their time.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And if someone is not there at that time, they're making no money. So this is how their income has dropped over a period of time. The system is Opargo. Is it SaaS system?
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take to put all that together? Because you had a background in it. But it just didn't happen overnight.
Right. Certainly didn't happen overnight. We dug into it quite a bit, and it's taken us a solid year to build out the product, build out the algorithm, the optimizer, as we call it, to be able to deliver the solution to practices and show value. And that's been a really, really fun activity to see how do we take something we've worked on over here and apply it in a completely new industry.
Well, it's interesting, and again, we were speaking before the show started, and your mission really is to help that physician, even more importantly, the patients.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an interesting model in terms of what you charge a physician. Actually, it's what you don't charge a physician. Talk about how you earn your income.
Sure. So people always ask me how much Opargo costs, and I say it's free. It's absolutely free. What we do is we take a share of the incremental value that's been generated for that practice. So we say, what have we delivered? And if we deliver value, again, let us take a portion of that. And that's something where we remove all of the risk to a practice. We say, hey, try us. If it works, great. If not, then don't pay me. And that's completely fine.
So whether it works or not, they're out, they're no money at all. They're just getting a piece of mm-hmm. what you can help them increase their business.
Exactly right.
So it's a win-win for everybody. And drilling all the way down, a win-win for those patients too,
exactly.
Because I'm guessing there's a lot of doctors that were not seeing certain patients because they couldn't see the value in doing mm-hmm. it, and now they're seeing them.
Yeah, there's really two things that we see from a patient perspective and where we're helping. We're helping these physicians. One is making sure they see all patients. That's important. Second is we make sure that patients go to the right provider the first time. I always use this example of an orthopedic practice, for example. at this practice, there might be one physician who focuses on trauma injuries. There's another physician who focuses on sports injuries. Well, how do we make sure that the patients go to the right doctor for them the first time? Because when you see a physician, a doctor of any sort, the patient's on the clock. They're paying for it, whether or not that's the right doctor for them. So let's make sure we get that patient to the right provider the first time. It helps the patient. It also helps that provider who says, I want to see the patients that are based on my specialty and not just because I can kind of help them.
So the doctor's seeing the right patient at the right time for the right reason.
Mm-hmm,
exactly. Well, what have you learned through the building of this business? Because you're, I think you mentioned you're a little over a year old in getting this started. What have you learned over the last few months?
Sure. So one thing, when I first started out, someone told me, as I was really gearing up and ready to go and couldn't wait to get going with Opargo, he said, just be careful. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. A startup is not a sprint. And it's funny, as I've been thinking about it a bit, I wouldn't even say it's a marathon. It's more like an Ironman. I just finished my first Ironman this past May, and Ironman's hard. It's harder than a marathon, obviously, because a marathon is on the end of an Ironman. But it's fascinating to see how these correlate in respect of, one, it's a lot of work. Two, there are long stretches where you're by yourself, right? There's no one else there to help you. Three, I would say there are those times when you're like, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. I don't know what's going on and how are we going to get to this finish line. But through it all, I mean, there's two main things. One is you've got to have a great team supporting you, which we do. And secondly, you have to make sure you have a goal. What's that goal? What's that finish line? And how do we make sure we do that all the while having fun? And that's one of the main things that I've learned through this is getting those priorities, focusing, and heading towards that goal.
That's a great analogy, because I think the biggest part, as you mentioned, those obstacles that you come across as you're going through your business, because the biggest one, and I've never done an Ironman, but I have done a lot of physical activity, is you're wondering, my God, can I finish? Can I get there? And I'm sure the same thing runs through the minds of entrepreneurs too, wondering, did I make the right decision? Am I in the right business? Am I funding something that's not going to succeed? And you have to stay with it. So apparently this has gone through your head a lot over the last few months.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, you get a lot of time on your hands when you're out, you know, cycling for 100 miles or running 15, you've got a little bit of time to think about this type of stuff.
Well, the biggest problem in doing that, I would think, because, again, I've never done a triathlon or a marathon or an Ironman, is the fact that you have time to think. And if you don't focus those thoughts in the right direction, then those thoughts can it's almost like cancerous. It can eat you up alive, and mm-hmm. you can't do it. And so apparently that's what goes on in a business as you're developing it. In addition to that, what other advice would you give business owners and entrepreneurs that want to start their business along with the same genre that we're talking about here?
Yeah. Well, one thing that I think about often, and this is actually from one of the deans at the SMU Business School. He coined a terminology of meaningful collisions, which I thought was very clever. And it's all about, I would call it networking to a whole nother level. You make sure that you take advantage of every single person, encounter, activity, and leverage it to the best. And it's, when I say leverage it, it's not all about what can you get out of it. It's how can you help each other? How can you see how to add value to each other? And as such, these meaningful collisions have helped us quite a bit along the way, whether it's the starting of this business with myself and Dr. Aaron Lloyd, whether it's finding different potential customers, which we never thought we might have, finding some really good partners, some really good groups to fund us. All of those things are just part of meaningful collisions. But again, it's not what do we get out of it. It's how do we mutually add value through this encounter.
I'm a big believer in karma. The more you help other people, the more they'll help you. And that's what you're really doing, is you're working with the physicians to help them and their patients. You're young. You haven't been in business for a long time, but let's look down 5 to 10 years from now. Where do you see your business? Do you see it just staying in the physician side, or can you open it up, as we discussed it earlier, into other types of industries?
Yeah, it's fascinating. This business around optimization absolutely can scale across the board. whether it's through different groups within the healthcare system or, you know, through veterinarian system or other areas, it absolutely can scale there. There are other groups who have said, hey, something like this would have, add value to me as well. I mentioned to you earlier about my financial advisor who said, wow, maybe there's a way I can optimize who I see based off of potential opportunities with the advising of clients. There's absolutely huge opportunities to scale. And what it comes down to is finding the right market, finding the right opportunities, but then ensuring you have the data and you're able to add value. And when you're able to pull all of those things together, that's where we start to look and see, man, this has huge opportunity and huge potential.
I was thinking about my attorney. I've been attempting to get together with him. We've been going back and forth with his assistant on times, and I can see attorneys using this system very similar to physicians because their time is extremely valuable too. One thing I asked you before we started I thought was interesting, the name of your business is Opargo, and the website is opargo.com. We'll mention that again. It's an interesting visual with the airplane on the website. You need to check that out. But tell everybody how you came up with the name Opargo.
Mm-hmm. So Opargo, optimize an argentum, silver or value or revenue. So the idea of optimizing value or revenue for a practice.
Makes a tremendous amount of sense. So one more time, I had mentioned your website, but should someone want to get a hold of you for either as a physician or someone that wants to refer somebody to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Go on the website, give us a call. We would love to talk to anyone how we can add value to their practices and talk a little bit more about what we can do.
And the website again is opargo.com. You can also go to our website, playmakerstalkshow.com, because Paul's information and the website and his phone number are there too. Paul, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Glad to have you here. This was a great show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get, as I mentioned, all of our replays and past episodes and information about our guests. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.